Well, there's something you don't know about me.
There's a lot of things you don't know about me.
But one thing is, I like to keep records on certain events, and for 53 years, on the first of every month, I write down the mileage that I have driven my car that the previous month. And so you can ask me, and the way it got started was when I had my first car, I wrote down, wow, I've driven this many miles. And then every month I do this, and I keep this ledger, which is really dumb. But somebody someday is going to ask me. Like, you may ask me, how many miles did Nancy and I drive last month? Somebody.
How many miles did you drive?
Well, you know, now that you asked, 1,372. Whoa, that's not very many. Anyway, that's one thing that I do. I keep records. I also keep records of my sermons, like 11,000 plus. And so when Roger and I decided that we should start a series of sermons based upon the Nativity movie, I was assigned tonight Joseph. To next Saturday night, he's going to take Mary. The next Saturday night, we're going to take the wise men. Not where we're going to take them, but we're going to take them. And then the fourth Sunday, Saturday, which will be the Saturday before Sunday, which is Christmas Eve, because Christmas was on Monday, we'll do Jesus, who is the gift to us all. If you haven't seen the Nativity, I encourage you to go and see it. Nanny and I and Lynn and Roger and family got to see a private showing last week, and it's really worth the time. In fact, the opening yesterday was in more theaters in America than any of the other Christmas movies that came out, or that are coming out. So it's really great. So I say that to say this about my record keeping. When Pastor Roger said, I want you to talk about Joseph tonight, I remember in the recesses of my mind, years ago I had a series of sermons on couples in the Bible. So I went to my filing system, and I found out that, believe it or not, December 1986, which is like 20 years ago, it took time. 20 years ago, I spoke on Joseph. So I'm going to take him out of the box tonight. And you have before you the scripture. I'd like for us to read together. I think what we'll do, we'll have the men read the first paragraph, followed by the ladies, the men and the ladies. So on your handout, we're going to talk tonight about the courage of Joseph. And let's read. The men. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph cringed, but Noble determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. Ladies. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, Hebrew for God is with us. Ladies?
Then Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary, but he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby.
Men. After the scholars were gone, God's angel showed up again in Joseph's dream and commanded, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay until further notice. Herod is on the hunt for this child and wants to kill him."
Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother under cover of darkness. They were out of town and well on their way by daylight. They lived in Egypt until Herod.
dream to Joseph in Egypt. Up, take the child and his mother and return to Israel. All those out to murder the child are dead.
Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother, and returned to Israel. And when he heard those that are his father Aaron had seen him in Egypt, he was afraid to go there. But then Joseph was directed in his dream to go to the hill of Galilee. On arrival, he settled in his own Nazareth. This move was the fulfillment of the word, he shall be called a Nazarene.
Very good. Okay, those are the blocks of scripture that has to do with Joseph. You know, Joseph is this guy that's in the backdrop. And in fact, in some nativity sets, he's really been pushed back into the cave like, and Mary is there with the baby, although sometimes they're all three right there. The important thing is, the emphasis has always been on whom? Mary and the baby, Jesus. And poor old Joseph just sort of pushed back there. Come on, guy, talk to us, tell us something. And the scripture that we read tell us a lot about him, but there are other things that we know about Joseph. For example, he was a good man. He was the father of seven children. He died before the public ministry of Jesus. He took his family to church. He took leadership in his family, as seen in the flight that he took to Egypt. So I want us to look tonight at two things about Joseph. We're going to call it the courage of Joseph. The first thing is, he was courageous as far as moral judgment issues are concerned. And secondly, he was courageous as far as manly issues were concerned. But first, let's go a flashback. I'm not going to tell you the scriptures, but this is what we know about him. This is what we know in the block. But there are other scriptures in the New Testament, just one verse here or there, that tell us this. He was a carpenter. He was a just man. We're talking about Joseph now. He belonged to Nazareth. He was of a Davidic descent. He was the son of Heli, according to Luke. But if you turn to Matthew, he was the son of Jacob. It's no big deal here. The names are interchangeable. He was the husband of Mary, and he was the supposed father of Jesus. There are scriptures that all tie that in. So first of all, Joseph's courage is seen in his morality. One thing in the Bible is this. He was just an ordinary man. Any ordinary people here tonight? No, are we just ordinary? Listen to the words of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption." So the first thing is about his morality. He was just a very ordinary man. He was simple, he was honest, he was hardworking, he was God-fearing. Anybody here simple? Anybody here honest? Anybody here hardworking? How come my hands aren't going up? Anybody here God-fearing? Okay. Anybody here who has a warm heart? Come on. Okay. The idea is that Joseph was just an ordinary guy. The second thing is, he lived a morally upright life. Matthew 1:19. He was known as a righteous man because he had a very strong relationship with God. It was he and Jesus. He romanced God. Now, we're talking about Joseph. We're talking about this carpenter. But he lived a moral upright life in that he stood up against his own sin nature, and he disciplined himself to live the way God had wanted him to live in a very corrupt society. Remember, it was a small town. And he just didn't go with the flow. He was able to say, you know, I will not have a relationship with this woman. I will be morally upright. He didn't go with the flow. On my laptop computer, I have a lot of stickers. One says, the Cayugas all day. The other one has a main sticker. The other one says, Cayugas. But my favorite sticker on my laptop says, don't go with the flow. Don't go with the flow. Joseph was a guy who did not go with the flow. Now, he was a righteous man. Say righteous.
Righteous.
Now say religious.
Religious.
Is there a difference between being religious and being righteous? Very definitely. He was a righteous man. You know, tomorrow morning, and those who have church on Saturday night, people can come in and be religious. Anybody can be religious. In fact, most of it, in fact, the churches are filled with religious people. But not all religious people are righteous people. Joseph was a very righteous person. And he was morally upright in his life. Maybe you did or did not see the movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Okay, making fun of somebody who was sexually pure and all the way up to 40 years old. Joseph showed courage in his personal life by being morally and spiritually strong in a very corrupt world. So the first thing tonight is this. Joseph had courage, and that's seen in his morality. The second thing is the courage of Joseph has to do with his manhood. Joseph displayed in his manhood the kind of a person that he was not going to let what the people said affect him. And in the face of social ostracism, he believed God, and he was going to marry this pregnant girl who was not carrying his baby. So the first thing about his courage in his manhood is simply this. He resisted, he restrained his anger, and he chose to treat Mary with love. Now this is really important. Can you imagine, just for a moment, how he must have felt? He's engaged to this woman, and all of a sudden, wow, she's pregnant. Can you imagine how he must have felt? Take, for example, Nancy came to the graduate school in New Orleans in September, and I fell in love with her. And in December, I asked her to marry me. I went to St. Louis to ask for her hand, well, more than her hand, but to ask her hand in marriage. And so I got the hand, and so we were engaged, and we got married in March. But let's suppose that after we got engaged formally in January, all of a sudden I found out that she's pregnant. And so she says, no way, Neil, was I touched. I say, well, no way will I believe you, because it just happens this way. Well, Joseph restrained his anger when this happened. I don't know how he reacted. The first, I would have reacted with shock, you know, because I thought she was a pure girl. But let's just transfer the imagery to Joseph. Joseph was shocked because he believed that his wife-to-be was a pure girl. And I think he had deep sorrow. I think his dreams of marriage were all of a sudden shattered. I think he felt anger. I think he would say, hey, I have been betrayed. I've been betrayed so much, I want to punish somebody. But he restrained his anger. The second thing is this. He resisted the social pressure. Remember, we're in a small town, and this girl is pregnant. And you know what the Jewish law was? You know, she was going to be what? Stoned. Because she was an adulteress or a fornicator. And so in this small town, he was publicly embarrassed. She's publicly embarrassed. And so what does he decide to do, somebody? Decide to do what to her? But before he marries her, he wants to what?
Divorce.
Yes, divorce her. Privately, the scripture says. So I'm going to go to the city clerk, and I'm just going to nullify this. I don't want to embarrass her, so I'm going to I'm not going to give in to the social pressure, so I want to protect her from public disgrace. But his plans are changed. His plans are changed because I heard you reading that all of a sudden God's angel appeared to him. And Nancy called it to my attention today that it was God's angel that came to him in the dream. Both times, three times. In fact, there were three times he had three dreams. So Joseph resists the social pressure. His plans are not changed. He does follow through, and so he obeys God. He takes Mary home to be his wife only after the angelic vision comes to him. And he had no sexual relations until Jesus was born. And this underscores the truth of the virgin birth. And then after that, they did have a family, and you say, you mean Jesus had brothers and sisters? Yeah, the scripture does say that. And he had quite a few. It was a big family, okay? Just a very big family. Can you imagine Jesus growing up with the kids? Can you imagine, since Mary and Joseph knew who he was and what he was going to be, can you imagine Joseph saying, hey, I just wonder if I'll ever be able to teach him anything, you know? The relationship, and then between brothers and sisters, that must have been so cool, living that way. Anyway, Joseph obeys God, takes Mary home to be his wife, and then the other thing is he protected his child when the life was in danger. So God selected this man, Joseph, selected this guy to protect the infant Jesus in the dangerous first years of his life, because his life was in danger. He also was strong enough to protect his family during this hazardous journey to Bethlehem, the long trip that he made to Egypt on that flight. Call it a flight. Can you imagine going that way? Tradition says that one day they stopped in a cave to sleep. And by this time, the soldiers were after Jesus. And they were just looking everywhere. So one soldier comes to the mouth of this cave, and he's told by his commanding officer to go in, you know, and see if anybody's in there. In the back of the cave is Mary and Joseph and Jesus. But as he reaches into the cave, he finds that there is a spider web. Tradition says that this little spider knew what was happening. So don't kill a spider, please. And so the spider did a web at the mouth of the cave. So when the soldiers came to go in, the soldiers said, well, there's no reason to go into this one, commanding officer, because if anybody had gone in, the spider web would not be here. So God protected. That's just a legend. The fact is, in truth, God used Joseph to protect his son, Jesus, in this trip. And then the return home years later. I say, okay, Joseph. Okay, Joseph. So the conclusion is this, for we men, it's to be morally strong and be strong in our manhood. For you women, it's like you ladies, you want a courageous husband. And for the children, kids and young people, they want to boast, my dad's bigger than your dad. In other words, we men would protect our children. So Joseph was a man of courage, seen in his morality, and seen in his manhood. I guess the courage shows up for all of us, men or women. And you know, to be courageous comes when we least expect it. Just all of a sudden, we're going to be thrust, men and women, into a situation where we've got to be courageous in Cayucas, Morabeo, Los Osos. We're going to need that courage. So, Joseph, as a man, had no idea that his tranquil life was going to be changed in an instant. It was going to be just thrown into upheaval. Nor do you or I know when that's going to happen. But the lesson to learn is this. Joseph had cultivated, before this upheaval happened, he cultivated his relationship with God. Would you say that? His relationship with God. And that's what I want to motivate us all to do, is to motivate us to have a relationship with God so that when the day of testing comes, we are going to be able to be courageous. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, we do not know what lies ahead in the tomorrows, like the rest of this evening or tomorrow. But we know that you see over the fence, and you know that some of us this week are going to be thrust into a situation where we are going to have courage. Especially we men as we're looking at Joseph this evening. And so I pray, God, that for the men and for the women, we all would deepen our relationship with you so that when it happens, we won't be surprised and we won't be deterred and we won't go with the flow. So just bless us this evening, Jesus. Bless our brothers and sisters who are not here tonight for various reasons. The lighted boat parade, or traveling, or illness. We pray you would protect us all and bless this body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. We do thank you for coming tonight. Roger said he'd be slipping in, but I just don't see him. Anyway, I'm glad you came. And if you do want special prayer, laying out of hands or whatever, please don't go away without Jesus touching you. Amen.